I don't want anybody on that film set in that moment to walk away from it say I was uncomfortable in that. That's something I don't want. And I think that is what my work is about.
Yeah.
If I don't need the DOP to hold the camera, I would not have the DOP.
Okay. So gehraiyan mein kitne log hain?
Gehraiyan was an anomaly. Gehraiyan mein sirf 3 log.
3 log hain. Maximum at any point in time.
Yes. Wow. The focus puller was in an isolated room by himself next to the room where the scenes were happening.
Are any of your clients from Bollywood?
Ask me no secrets, I'll tell you no lies.
Ye jazba kahan se aa raha hai?
You know, ye meri maa hai.
Achha.
Isko kehte hain generational trauma.
Okay.
Of course, it's a joke. It's not trauma.
Welcome to the show, Aastha.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's so good to have you here. And I think you are one of the guests with absolutely unique profile. And the first we brought to India as an intimacy coordinator in the industry.
Yes.
What made you choose this as your career path?
I feel like a lot of it was not my choice. I feel like a lot of different reasons why I became an intimacy coordinator fell into my lap or like were inherently the person I am. I became an intimacy coordinator because Gehraiyan demanded an intimacy coordinator and there wasn't one in India.
Okay. What does it mean? What does an intimacy coordinator do?
So an intimacy coordinator's and is a lot like a stunt coordinator or like we call in India an intimacy director is like an action director. The idea is to achieve the director's vision.
Yeah.
By liaising with different departments in the crew and with the cast in order to make sure that the boundaries and the consent of the cast are upheld and the director's vision is achieved.
Okay.
So a lot of the work that I do involves choreography and coming up with different ways in which that we can implement a certain scene or execute a scene so that the director is happy with what has been achieved, the mood has been achieved, the emotion has been achieved.
Right.
At the same time, making sure that the actors are feeling comfortable throughout the process.
Right.
That all of their answers, all of their questions are answered, that they feel like they have a voice, that they don't feel like their voice is being taken away in any way or that they're being pressured to do something they don't want to do.
Okay. But does an intimacy coordinator just look at sexual scenes or it's beyond that as well?
So that's a great question. It's an umbrella of things. So which is why I don't call the scenes intimate scenes. They're called intimacy scenes because intimacy is not only simulated sex and nudity. Intimacy can be familial intimacy between families.
Okay.
It can be a story of a mother and a child where the child is being bathed by their parents, so it can involve minors. It can be a story that requires an expert in gender and sexuality, so a story about, say, someone from the LGBTQIA2S+ community.
Right.
It can be hypersexualization of a certain person, like in quote-unquote item songs. So it can be quite a few different. Of course, there is the simulated sex and the nudity also, which is a part of it, which is predominantly the part of it. There is, of course, any kind of implied sexual activity between minors. So like if teenagers are kissing. Or any kind, so anything from like kissing or like implying any kind of sexual activities would also involve having an intimacy coordinator. Domestic violence, anything where a power dynamic is very lopsided.
Sure.
In the space of performance,
okay,
you would ideally want to have
okay
an intimacy director or an intimacy coordinator.
It's a very new phenomenon, right? Does so it exist in global somewhere and it's come to India now, or what's yeah been the evolution?
So intimacy directors for stage performances and live performances have been there for about over a decade now.
Okay.
But the job role was adapted for screen by HBO in the year 2018.
Okay.
For a show called The Deuce.
Okay.
And the show is basically about a sex worker.
Hmm.
And so the main actor, her name's Emily Mead, she asked for somebody to be her advocate on set.
Okay.
The first ever intimacy coordinator credit was given to this lady. Her name is Alicia Rodas.
Okay.
Based out of New York. And now she's the lead intimacy coordinator, intimacy director for all HBO shows.
So that's the genesis of it.
So that's the history. That's history. Where it began.
Yeah.
Very quickly the West adapted to it. And the reason they adapted to it was because of, they have an actors union. The name of the actors union is SAG-AFTRA.
Okay.
Canada has an actors union called ACTRA.
Okay.
So both the actors unions came together and also separately decided that they would have a set of protocols in place to
yeah
safeguard their union members.
Yeah.
So SAG-AFTRA has put down a mandate now. Up until I think a year and a half ago, or almost 2 years ago, it was a strong guideline to have intimacy coordinators for all intimacy scenes. Mind you, intimacy scenes are defined differently for the West than they are for India, because culturally we look at intimacy very differently.
Yeah.
So an intimacy coordinator or an intimacy director would probably be called in the West, would probably not be called in the West for implied nudity.
Okay.
Or they would not be called in the West for I don't know, hypersexualization during an item song, because they hardly have any of those.
Yeah.
But in India, given the climate that we are in, the social climate that we live in, these become more pertinent, and as they are vulnerable
right
spaces, and we don't do scenes that involve full nudity. Our censors don't allow us to do scenes that involve complete nudity. And it's very rare occasion for any scenes that involve even frontal nudity above the waist, below the waist to happen.
Yeah.
Even on OTT, for instance. So anyway, I digress. The beginning of it was in the West. It was in the US. And given that intimacy coordination was becoming more and more talked about, there were a lot of articles about it. I happened to read a couple of them and realized that it was super important for India to have an intimacy professional. I'm sure there were others, but I don't think that anyone had actually taken the initiative to go and get educated
right
and get trained and certified in order to do this work before I did.
Right.
But
it started with Gehraiya, right? I mean, you wanted to
so
understand the requirement more, which led you to research more.
So to be completely honest, the first time an intimacy coordinator was credited in India for a show was not Gehraiya.
Okay.
It was for a show called Mastram. That came out on MX Player, if I'm not wrong,
okay,
or one of those, one of the other streaming apps. But that show had an intimacy coordinator, Amanda Cutting, who was flown in from Canada.
Okay.
And I'm sure you've heard of the comic, the Mastram comics and the books, and so it was based on it was basically a soft porn show, for the lack of a better phrase.
Those days, MX erotica. Used to work on those subjects.
Yeah. Mastram was about erotic. Yes. It was an erotica, like series of novels, if I'm not wrong. I haven't read any, haven't got my hands on any. So if I'm wrong, don't quote me on it. But that was the first time. And there was another film in the South that Tanushree Dutta worked on.
Okay.
Where she had asked for one of her costume assistants to double up as an intimacy coordinator, liaise with the director, ask them what they wanted and so on and so forth. And so that lady was also credited. But they didn't do any work after that. Mm. They did one. It was like that one-off, one project. And it kind of very quickly fizzled out.
Yeah. I think with you, the sense we get is that it's almost like your mission now, right? With the intimacy lab which you're running.
It's my calling.
It's your calling. And it doesn't end with this. It's also about getting, you know, others to... You to mentor 100%. Others and other to guide others how to get into this field.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, humble brag. It has definitely been the work that I have done for the last 4 years in creating a market and also finding talent to supply the market, to satiate... Yeah. Well, not really. Not yet. But to at least service the industry as best as we know how. And I think that work has been not just in the Hindi film industry. It's also been in a couple of the regional industries. So we've done a lot of work in the South.
Hmm.
And we've recently started working in Tollywood.
Oh, lovely. That was my next question.
Which is in Calcutta.
Yeah.
Which is my home.
Mm.
It's where I come from. And I don't see that stopping. I don't see it stopping even at India. I feel like South Asia requires it. I feel like when and if we are given the opportunity to go in and shoot in a Sri Lanka or in a Bangladesh or in a, someday maybe even a Nepal or a Pakistan or a Bhutan, I would love to.
Great.
I mean, yeah.
Great. Coming back to India, we are a patriarchal society.
Yes.
Still are.
Yes.
And if we were to see male and female intimacy on screen, are there any relaxations still for males?
Yeah. I think there are several reasons for it. So I'll start with the most obvious one. There's definitely... the patriarchal idea of the woman being the object of pleasure.
Hmm.
And that is probably one of the reasons why. The second is definitely gaze.
Hmm.
Most of the people that are making films and in gaze, when I say someone has a male gaze, doesn't mean that the director is male.
Hmm.
Sometimes a lot of female filmmakers have male gaze. They don't even know it.
Oh.
Can
you tell us more?
Yeah, I can. I think we can double click into that, but I'll finish my point.
Sure.
So I think it's a lot about gaze. And when you come from a place of male gaze, you automatically are in a situation where you start to look at the female in the situation as the object of pleasure, as the person who's supposed to titillate or like be the object of desire in that particular scene. Or then very dramatically shifted to having the male who is the object of desire in the situation. And in that case, what you do is you completely dismiss the role of the woman in the room. And the third thing, and I mean, it's arguable. But I've heard a lot of people say it, and I feel like a lot of people believe it, which is that the femininity in female body feels more sensual visually and feels more pleasing visually than masculine body, which visually feels more aggressive. I don't fully believe it, but I hear a lot of people saying it. So I feel like that's probably one of the reasons why one defaults to doing, defaults to creating situations where intimacy is hyper-objectifying the female. Yeah.
And you were talking about the gaze, even if it's a female director.
So, so the thing about the male gaze, and when I say the male gaze, is the male gaze is not about a man's gaze. The male gaze is about an inequality within the gaze.
Okay.
And the so-called female gaze or the neutral gaze is more of a balanced gaze, much like a lot of people don't understand the definition of feminism. Right?
Yeah.
People feel like feminism means male hating or male bashing, which it's not.
Yeah.
People don't understand what male gaze is about. Male gaze is not about man versus woman. It's more about if either gender or any gender, either is incorrect, any gender is objectified or hyper-sexualized on camera, it's male gaze. Because the objectification aspect of it makes it the male gaze.
Got it.
Because predominantly they have been, unfortunately, defaulted to being the people that are the objectors. But yeah, so a lot of people feel like, oh, as a female filmmaker, puri duniya to auraton ko dikhati hai. Maine un male bums dikhaye hain apni puri film mein. Aap fir bhi male gaze de, ke part ho. Aap, aapka gaze fir bhi neutral nahi hai, because for the purpose of the story, you could have just as easily not had that inequality happen on that film set, or not had that inequality happen in that frame on screen. But it's a choice. And as somebody who is a collaborator with filmmakers, I will never ever beyond a certain point question someone's gaze unless it starts to feel like something I don't want to be a part of. If my instinct turns around and tells me that I am uncomfortable by what is happening on a set, I will raise my voice. But if I feel like the actors that are shooting the scene, the director that is directing the scene, the producer that's paying for it to be shot, are all on the same page and they've got it figured out, and they want to do it a certain kind of way, I don't think it's my place to, beyond a certain point, try and push my personal opinion on the scene. And the reason for that is because our work as intimacy coordinators is about making sure that people, while on that film set, are feeling safe. And that's the first most important aspect. That is my priority.
Safety first.
And making sure that everyone is happy with the product they're creating. That nobody will walk out of this room and 5 years later say, I was uncomfortable here. You might say, what I did, I don't agree with it anymore.
Opinions change.
An Aamir Khan might do a khambe jaise khadi hai, and then 5 years later turn around and say, I don't condone my own behavior. That's very different from if an actor does an item song and then 5 years later says, you know what, I didn't even know it, but I felt bloody uncomfortable in that moment. That's my problem. I would not want them to feel uncomfortable. Right. Having said that, अगर सब लोग करना चाहते हैं जो वो करना चाहते हैं, अगर वो मेरे आइडियोलॉजी से बियॉन्ड अ सर्टेन पॉइंट अग्री नहीं करता, पर मैं उस फिल्म सेट पे हूँ, देन आई विल शेड माय आइडियोलॉजी एंड आई विल डू माय जॉब. And then I will try probably not to be in a position like that again, because but that's a personal choice.
Decision, yeah.
And it has nothing to do with my profession. Some other intimacy coordinator might as well be there.
Got it.
And the reason for that is that it is not the onus of the intimacy coordinator or the intimacy director to decide what the audience is going to consume. And if the audience is going to consume it and the filmmaker is going to make it, is between the two of them
right.
to figure
so
it out.
So you make, you'll have to make your choices. But you did mention something about Me Too, right?
So,
you know, that was also sort of, you were watching things happen, which you said there is something maybe I can contribute to in the industry.
Yeah, which is exactly what I spoke about, which is that I don't want anybody on that film set in that moment to walk away from it, say, I was uncomfortable in that room.
Mm.
I didn't want to be there. Yeah. And I was forced to be there.
Hmm.
That's something I don't want for anyone to ever be in that position. And I think that is what my work is about.
Yeah.
At least one major aspect of it is. The second aspect of it is, at least with the places where I am allowed or given the room or the space to choreograph a scene and to ideate what it's going to look like on camera.
Yeah.
Then I want to make sure that it's not going to be something that somebody 5 or 10 years later is going to turn back and say, this was very regressive or this was extremely offensive or it was, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like I would not want, although to be very honest with you, in today's world, what is not offensive? But your breathing is offensive. But having said that, I feel like as long as my ethics are upstanding in and my morality is upstanding in that room where I have the voice to talk about the creatives, I'm happy.
You know what? Coming from a content industry myself, I just feel that you are giving a hope to the industry, to the audiences, because not that we haven't seen stuff happening in scenes and songs and, you know, double meaning songs and lyrics and they're fully loaded, right? And having someone as you being the torchbearer with full responsibility that the product which is going to come out is going to be aesthetic, sensible and in alignment with the safety measures taken for the artists.
And also very importantly, it will move the story forward. There is no need for a scene if you want a certain audience to come in and watch the scene. There is a need for a scene if the story requires that scene in order to push the story, push the plot forward. So a lot of times what happens is a lot of people sprinkle in intimacy into their stories because they feel like sex sells.
Yeah, that will get viewership.
That this DRPs. This brings the eyeballs. There is a lot of shock and awe. There's a film which came out very recently that did a lot of played the shock and awe game very beautifully with a lot of violence and a lot of sex.
You don't talk about that? The title?
I don't know, yaar. if you know, you know.
Yeah, I know.
if you know, you know. Yeah. And I don't remember the last time my hickeys looked that beautiful. but having said that... I truly believe that I have seen many of the collaborators on a film like that walk out of that film, and the massive numbers that that film has done, kudos to the people that have made it happen. No credit taken away where it is due. Amazing marketing, phenomenal tent pole, like branding, image creation, all of that. amazing editing in order phenomenal idea of the filmmaker to use shock and awe consistently, find a way to create a pan-India audience with your lead actor singing a Punjabi song in a lungi. Great. Do please. Okay, I'm like, बनाओ यार पैसे. तुम लोग बनाते हो पैसे तो छोटी छोटी फिल्मों को भी पैसे मिलते हैं, काम करने
मिलती
के.
है, हाँ.
और जगह मिलती है. एंड आई डोंट बिलीव के बड़ी फिल्में नहीं बननी चाहिए. और लाइक कुछ फिल्में पॉपकॉर्न हिट्स हैं, मसाला हिट्स हैं. देयर माई फेवरेट काइंड ऑफ फिल्म्स बाय द वे, मोस्ट ऑफ द धर्मा यूनिवर्स एंड द यशराज यूनिवर्स एंड the war or the Pathan or the Jawan or the the Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham. I've grown up to that and I love that stuff. Like I love the idea of walking into a film, eating popcorn, walking out of it and going, minus. great. We'll never take that away. What I do not like is when something that is ethically incorrect is glorified. Don't make the person who is actually not supposed to be a nice person. You're all walking out of the film after having worked on it for 8 months, 10 months, saying, but everyone else should know that this guy is not a good guy. Of course he's not a good guy. Look at the name of the film. It's not about a human being. It's about someone who is clearly has a funk on. But then don't glorify that.
So you don't have a problem with bringing out such characters because they exist in the society, but why
glorify? Some of them don't. The filmmaker's previous film, that character probably would, I would still believe that character
relatable
exists.
Relatable. You might bump into someone like this.
वैसा बंदा मिल जाएगा मेरे को अपनी ज़िंदगी में.
मिल जाएगा.
ये character तो कभी नहीं मिलेगा. एंड इंडिया इतनी अनलॉफुल नहीं है, आप किसी भी रैंडम होटल में घुस के 300 लोगों को मार नहीं सकते बिना पूरी दुनिया को पता चले कि आप क्या कर रहे हो. इट्स नॉट पॉसिबल. और फिर दिल्ली में रह सकते हो उसके बाद.
सो व्हाट आर योर,
इट्स नॉट पॉसिबल.
सो व्हाट आर योर बेस्ट प्रैक्टिसेस व्हिच यू फॉलो नाउ? आई रिमेंबर यू टॉकिंग अबाउट 34 पेजेस डॉक्यूमेंट एंड you know, there are certain things which you brought together.
The basic things are, of course, a closed set. I make sure that I ask for consent. I make sure that we create a consent forward space. A lot of the practices involve creating and recreating situations in prep in order for allowing performers to be able to ask all the questions they need to ask in advance.
Okay. Is there a legal document which they sign?
So there isn't a legal document. Okay. It's not legal.
Okay.
So to speak, like it will not uphold in court. The reason it will not uphold in court, and this is actually a very interesting thing, much longer conversation. But a rider that involves anything to do with intimacy cannot uphold in court if the actor decides to not do a particular scene, for instance, because if they reverse consent,
they are
allowed to reverse consent.
Okay.
Because the minute that you try and force an actor in order to not reverse consent or you take away their job for it, it falls under sexual harassment. So you cannot get an actor to ever sign a document that says, come hail, come high water, I will do the scene. What you can do is, you can get an actor to sign a document that says, I have agreed to do the scene, and under the right circumstances, I will do the scene.
Okay.
If for whatever reason, I am unable to do the scene, you can use a body double to do the scene for me.
Okay.
And I will allow for the body double to uphold the uphold the boundaries of the consent that I have given.
Okay.
So if I've agreed for my bare back to be shown on camera, if you use the body double and you show bare back on camera, I don't have a problem.
Okay.
That's essentially the maximum amount you can tie up, for the lack of a better word, an actor ethically.
Yeah.
But what a nudity rider or an intimacy rider does do is it clarifies in the most clerical terms what is required to shoot a scene of intimacy.
Okay.
कितनी न्यूडिटी होगी कितना सिम्युलेटेड सेक्स होगा कौन से फ्रेम्स में कितने टाइम तक आपका सीन चलेगा हाउ लॉन्ग इज योर सीन ऑन कैमरा हु आर यू गोइंग टू बी शूटिंग दैट सीन विद व्हाट आर यू गोइंग टू बी वेयरिंग व्हाइल यू आर शूटिंग दैट सीन ऑल ऑफ दीज डिफरेंट एस्पेक्ट्स आर एडेड टू एन इंटिमेसी राइडर
ओके
एंड दिस राइडर इज क्लैरिफाइड एंड साइंड बाय बोथ द कास्ट एंड द प्रोडक्शन to say we are all on the same page and we are all in agreement that this is how we are going to approach
so this is what we are signing up
this is the blueprint
yeah
and attached to that is the scene
okay
this is the scene that we are going to shoot
okay
and for that scene these are the parameters that are in place
okay
having said that they can always say they want to have a support person on their closed set then you offer it to the other cast member if they would like to have a support person on their on their things a lot of times intimacy riders involve saying that we will have an intimacy coordinator present on the film set
okay
so on and so forth they don't there is a template but they all don't look exactly the same of course because the scenes are all very different
right
and the requirements are all very different
so a film can have multiple of these riders for multiple scenes
yes,
right
yes you're ideally supposed to have a rider for each scene because of course the parameters for each scene are different and the reason for that is that you get all the riders done in advance so that when and if the writers and the filmmaker decide overnight that they want to randomly add an intimacy scene that they have to follow a protocol around it they cannot say ki you have agreed to kiss in two scenes scene A and scene C and now I'm going to randomly add making out and kissing in scene L and Q because
the script demands
because tumne to pehle kar liya na to ab kya problem hai ab kya dikkat ho rahi
hai president said who agar wo
nahi kar sakte mainly because consent is informed and it's also very specific I can only my consent is valid only if I have specifically consented to doing something Yeah. So I'm shooting that scene with this person for that long under these circumstances on this day.
So it's a very process. There's a process to it. Tell me the actors who are old actors now and you're making them go through this new process. Are they surprised? Are they welcoming it? What is their reaction? What is the response?
You know, there are certain actors that will turn around and say, we've been doing it for a very long time and we've figured out our own method. I will not enforce a method on them.
Sure.
The reason I won't is because they've had their own struggles and through their own struggles and their own learnings, they have adapted to it. So I am a support person there ke sir, ma'am, aapke hisab se karenge. You tell me what your way to do it. I'm flexible to my process. So basically, I'm flexible with the process of the actors. I will adapt to... what they need. I try not to be very flexible with productions because a lot of productions don't know how to handle intimacy scenes. I usually have a memo that I send certain department heads at the beginning of my work on a production in order to tell them what my process is like. And I let them know that that's how I'm going to stick to it and this is my process and this is how we're going to work. So I will probably send like the first AD, I will send him a closed set list and I will send him a closed set protocols document. Because I want them to know how I approach a closed set and that might look different to how they've learned how to approach a closed set. A lot of times people believe that closed sets involve 15 people. And they will find some reason for why they all have to be on set. And I usually have a limit, which is that the maximum number of people on a closed set ever possible with all possible forms of rig and extra camera and whatever reaches 12 people.
Okay.
And the
when
and
you
the
say closed set is it's when you kind of cover it with the black screens or it's
no
just
a closed set is a system where nobody who is not if any crew member is not functional and working within the span of action and cut, their job is not required between action and cut, and they do a lot of their main work between cut and action. They are people that are sent out.
They're not required. Okay.
Yeah. If I don't need the DOP to hold the camera, I would not have the DOP.
Okay.
If I don't need the hair person to fix the hair in the middle of the shot, I will not have the hair person.
Okay.
If I will say cut before I call the hair person will stand outside.
Okay.
That's the idea.
That's how tight.
That between action and cut, jinki zarurat hai, वो अंदर रहेंगे बाकी लोग बाहर
so, गहराइयाँ में कितना कितने लोग थे
गहराइयाँ वाज इन अ नॉर्मली गहराइयाँ में सिर्फ
तीन लोग थे
हाँ
मैक्सिमम एट एनी पॉइंट इन टाइम
यस
वाओ
थ्री पीपल आउटसाइड ऑफ द टू एक्टर्स वर ऑन द क्लोज सेट एंड द फोकस पुलर वाज इन एन आइसोलेटेड रूम बाय हिमसेल्फ नेक्स्ट टू द रूम वेयर द सीन्स वर हैपनिंग
Okay.
In order to pull focus.
And is it unusual for this industry?
Very, very unusual for a three-person closed set to happen. Invariably, there will be around 6 to 8 people. And I don't mind 6 to 8 people. I feel like 6 to 8 people to chahiye hote hain kabhi kabhi. Gehraiyan was an anomaly. And actually, the reason why we were able to pull that off in Gehraiyan was because Shakun was very clear that he didn't need anyone and he was like, I'll AD for myself. I will figure it out on my own. Deepika was very clear. I don't want anyone from my staff. Siddhant was very clear. I don't want anyone from my staff. Ananya, during Ananya's scene, was like, I don't want anyone. All we need is Kaushal, the DOP.
Yeah.
The focus puller in a separate room. Shakun to be in the same room and Astha. And when, or if I was, for whatever reason, not on that particular, in that particular room.
Yeah.
Kapil, the first AD.
Yeah.
And I would be just right outside.
Right.
And right off by right outside, I mean like basically in the room, but not on the floor.
Yeah.
With them. So max 4 people.
Right.
Otherwise 3 people.
Right.
So that kind of film set is very rare to have.
Okay.
That
added to the success of the film, right? Because what you're saying about the intimacy and the scenes, as a viewer, I can say audience, I was pulled in and I felt very intimate when with I was them. Watching it with them. It was like a very personal view, like I'm part of that, right?
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah, that credit of that has to go to Kaushal, the DOP. He is phenomenal with intimacy and lighting, and he has such a keen understanding and knowledge of lighting skin. And also such a keen understanding of shooting intimacy in a way that feels non-objectifying at all. Like, it felt like you were the third person in the room, or like the fly on the wall, as opposed to like someone who's like, there was no voyeurism at all in that gaze. And of course, I mean, all of that under the guidance and of Shakun, for Shakun's vision. Kaushal is probably one of my favorite DOPs to work with, 4 scenes of intimacy because of this.
See, after Gehraiyan, you've obviously done a lot, many more web series and their films under your belt. The recent one is Murder Mubarak, Showtime. You evangelizing this entire space, and not only for yourself, it's like you running an intimacy lab where you are onboarding people who are interested to take this as their career path. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So, thank you, first of all. I feel like I feel like I've gotten a lot of compliments throughout this process from you. The biggest one being here. But I feel like a lot of work is there to be done. I don't think I plan on stopping anytime soon. The lab is one of my babies. It is probably my first baby, and it will always be my first child. The lab is a space for intimacy professionals to get the education that they require,
mm-hmm.
In order to be efficient intimacy professionals in the Indian industries, and South Asian industries if they choose to. My aim around that is to create, my vision for it is to be a mandate,
mm-hmm.
For production houses to never shoot intimacy without intimacy coordinators, mm-hmm. onboarded, for actors to advocate, for performers to advocate for intimacy coordinators so that other performers can benefit from their good experiences.
Yeah.
Or even if they feel like there is any merit to the work, they should talk about it. For me, I think the goal is to be a credible technician in the industry where I eventually want to reach a point where a production house is not going to call me and tell me you're expensive.
Okay.
Although I probably always will be. but that's a me thing. I don't want them to ever think that intimacy coordinators are too expensive.
Hmm. It's almost
jokes
like
aside.
A,
yeah.
Almost like a movement, isn't it? Like sounds.
I think
sounds,
so.
Yeah. You know,
I think so, and it's also the fastest growing technician industry. It's the fastest growing technician role in the world right now.
Hmm.
Everywhere in the world, people are rising to the occasion of becoming intimacy coordinators. Actually, it's immaculate.
Yeah.
The numbers at which people are getting certified in the world in order to, like, the amount that people are investing in that education.
So how does someone enroll for your program? Where do they find you?
So I have a website. It's called www.theintimacylab.in.
Okay.
I have links to it on my personal Instagram and Facebook pages. Okay. I have The Intimacy Lab has its own Instagram account. It's called The Intimacy Lab.
Yeah.
All of them have links to the application forms and the training schedule and everything that the training entails.
Okay.
I'm also very reachable as a person. I reply to almost all of the messages and DMs and everything that I get,
right.
and mainly because I don't get that many, I'm not that important. we're super quick to reply. The team usually replies within 12 to 15 hours of receiving any emails. So we're very, very open to having people reaching out to us.
More power to you, girl. It's been really interesting to know. One, you've started something new as a boundary pusher. And not only that, you're taking that industry ahead on your shoulders. So a lot is riding on you and
Thank
the success
you.
And the trail you're
Thank
leaving
you.
Behind with every movie which you're doing, every
Thank
project
you so
which
much.
You're taking up.
Thank
which
you.
Are the next projects you're working on right now?
Ooh, I'm doing this really cool project that I shot in Jaipur mm-hmm. for... which I can't talk much about.
Okay.
Which is for Netflix.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
Okay.
I'm doing this other project right now that I'm shooting for Dharma.
Okay.
Which is an amazing story about two very cool women.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not too much divulging.
Okay.
But I have a release coming up this year, actually pretty soon, is called Ziddi Girls.
Okay.
On Amazon Prime. I have another release coming up called Jail Diaries on, I think, Amazon Prime, on Amazon Mini TV. And yeah, so like a lot of stuff.
Lots on your plate.
Lots coming up, lots happening. A lot of stuff is on the roll.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot of this, and I'm doing a lot of client work.
Okay.
So I spend a large chunk of my month when I'm not shooting, working with real people.
Okay.
And their needs around relationship and intimacy and having more light in their lives when it comes to intimacy.
So as a counselor, as a program?
I work as an intimacy or relationship coach, you can say.
Okay, okay.
Again, that's something that I certified for. Clearly, I like a lot of certificates. but yeah, so I spend a lot of time with the commons of the world, as I am one too. And I feel like that's a lot of my learning, because it really helps me see different stories and different perspectives and really help people.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of my time doing that as well.
Are any of your clients from Bollywood?
Yes.
Okay. Like 50%? If you have to put a percentage to it.
Oh.
Tricky question.
Ask me no secrets, I'll tell you no lies.
Okay then. 10 rapid fire questions.
Okay, sure.
Coming your way.
Love. This is like Coffee with Karan.
Yes.
Never gonna get invited on Coffee with Karan.
But this is
bas
unstoppable.
Bas wahi chahiye actually mujhe. Coffee with Karan pe invitation chahiye.
Haan. Kapil Sharma?
Kapil Sharma nahi chahiye.
Nahi chahiye. I mean Netflix.
हाँ कपिल शर्मा हाँ नहीं ठीक है
अच्छा ओके
I will laugh my bum off while being on stage with Kapil it'll be a very interesting experience but like it's not for me the kind of milestone that being in front of my childhood like I've since my childhood been in awe of Karan's journey so
yeah.
Karan
okay
And second is probably getting like a Filmfare or an IFA or a like one of the Indian coveted
right
awards.
So this becomes a category of awards in itself, right?
बस वो ही हो जाए नहीं तो फिर मैं acting करना शुरू कर दूँगी कुछ तो करना ही पड़ेगा यार Filmfare चाहिए मुझे.
Inshallah, absolutely it's gonna happen one day. So coming back to our rapid fire.
Yes.
One movie or a scene where you feel it needed an intimacy director. Could be a song, could be a scene.
One movie that needed an intimacy director. Made in Heaven.
Why?
Because they didn't have one.
Okay. Any song which you felt really needed your presence?
My presence?
Yes. Your gaze.
Oh, my gaze.
Yes.
There is this Anarkali Disco Chali.
Right. One of them song. And many more like that.
And yeah. But I have to say certain item songs have done really well with gaze. They've done an amazing job. Like B.D. Jalaile is has a very neutral gaze in comparison to the R.A. Pritam Pyares of the world. But yeah, like some item songs, yes. Yeah. I feel like usme bula lete.
Bula lete. To kuch thoda ho
jata. Hum bhi thoda sa kuch kar lete.
Kar lete. Okay, if you could direct a movie, what kind of movie would it be? And who would you cast in it?
Bas, yehi poochho. It would be a film that has two old characters falling in love with each other in their midlife. And what intimacy looks like in post-midlife crisis. That would probably be something I would love to explore. I feel like we don't... I think we, as a country, have a very... myopic view of who gets to have an intimate life or who gets to have sex. How does that body look? How does their skin look?
Hmm.
What social strata do they come from? What is their age group?
Hmm.
The minute that someone gets older, people are like, how can you?
Hmm.
A lot of people got offended for I don't know what reason when Shabana Azmi kissed Dharmendra in Rocky Rani.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Why can people who are older not have love in their life?
Yeah.
Like, I definitely would love to tell a story like that. Hmm. Who would I cast in it? Yaar, midlife mein kaun actors karenge intimacy khushi khushi
yeah.
Ha, I feel like I would love to have someone like a Bhaman Irani with I don't know, maybe a Urmila Matondkar or a Karishma Kapoor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something very offbeaty, yeah. But...
Completely.
Yeah, like something that you would never... This is a love story you could not have imagined will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Pankaj Tripathi with someone. Maybe. I don't know. That's coming to
Pankaj Tripathi is still younger.
Compared to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he's still younger. And also he's very new and very fresh.
Hmm.
So again, someone that people will not associate. It wouldn't serve my story in people understanding how offbeat these two characters have to be.
Hmm.
How you could never possibly imagine them in that world.
Interesting. If your life were a movie, who would you want to direct it? Don't tell me Karan Johar.
No. I don't think I could live up to it. Meri life bahut boring hai. My mentor.
Okay.
Because I think he knows me better than I know myself.
And who's he?
Shakun Batra.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Kaash main itni important hoti.
Are you one day... You never know.
Ha ha. One day.
You
Shakun.
Been, yeah, you listening. So what motivates you to continue pushing boundaries and stay unstoppable?
What motivates me? I don't know life any other way. I've always been somebody that pushes boundaries. I've always been someone that asks why.
Mm.
I've always been... I've been that person, I've been that troublemaker, I've been that stirrer since I knew how to speak. Mm. I have always been the outlier. I've always been the outstanding student.
Mm.
Pun intended, completely. So I don't see how not to push a boundary. I don't know how to conform.
Mm.
And for the things that may be perceived as me conforming are usually things that are completely my choice. I'm someone who lives a very choiceful life. So I don't see how that's going to change in any way. Even if I drop everything and decide to become a homemaker and a mother, that'll be completely my choice.
Right.
Even if I decide to balance it, it'll be completely... Like, I'm not someone that listens to anyone else. So, I don't see how that'll change at all. And I think that's what makes me unstoppable. Mm. Yeah.
And you get the world to confirm to you, right? It's when...
I mean, how else does one live? Mm. You truly live only when you feel like baki dunya aapke kadmon pe, aapke isharon pe chal rahi hai, not the other way around. If you're living... on other people's isharas, then
you're not living your life.
Then, yeah, yeah. Then to maza nahi hai.
Maza nahi hai.
Haan. Bahut hain log jinko jeena padta hai waise.
Right.
Mujhe nahi lagta ki mujhe jeene ki zarurat hai. Because I don't think main kar paungi. Right. And I'd be very unhappy if
so
I was that.
Tell us something to our listeners. Ki ye jazba kahan se aa raha hai? Ye unstoppable ka ye...
You know, ye meri maa hai.
Achha.
इसको कहते हैं जेनरेशनल ट्रॉमा.
ओके
with the lack of a better okay. Of course it's a joke, it's not trauma, but my mother is this person. Okay. She is someone who has always made her own way in the world. She's always had a voice. She's done what she deemed best, and she always empowered me to do what I wanted to do. And she makes a great team with my father, because my father is the same person.
Wow.
So coming from the family unit that I come from, I'm very beautifully anchored in the idea of a choiceful life.
Right. What about
and
your life
I've been blessed. And I was going to say, and I have been blessed. He's the wind beneath my wings.
Wow.
I've been blessed to be married to a person that... he's my biggest cheerleader.
Wow.
Yeah. And main kitni bakwaase karti hu and kitne maze karti hu aur kitni mastiyan karti hu on and off camera. And he's the one person who will just walk out of any room and be like, that's my wife. And and I do the same for him. So yeah,
it's been a pleasure, Aastha, having you on the show. You have been so candid. You have been, you know, really talking from your heart in a way. Different aspect of Unstoppable has come out on the show today, and
our listeners
are really going to benefit from it.
Thank you so much.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, and I really hope that everyone who's heard this today, if there's one thing that they take away from our entire conversation, is you have to push your boundaries, and you have to do what you want to do in life in order to feel fulfilled. हमारे सबकी जिंदगी में सिर्फ 80 साल होते हैं जीने के लिए, and आप 50 साल की उम्र में अगर बोलोगे कि यार मैंने वो कर लिया होता ना तो बहुत अच्छा होता, या मैंने ये कर लिया होता तो बहुत अच्छा होता, उसका कोई वैल्यू नहीं है. आप कुछ भी लेके नहीं जाओगे विथ यू इन लाइफ अपार्ट फ्रॉम द मेमोरीज दैट यू क्रिएट एंड द पीपल दैट यू ब्रिंग अलोंग विद यू. सो इट्स रियली इंपॉर्टेंट टू क्रिएट इम्पैक्ट एंड टू वर्क टूवर्ड्स दैट in your life, and it's super important to live a choiceful life. I think that's the two things that I would definitely want the listeners to take away.
Thank you so much, Aastha.
Thank you.